You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, February 1st. Joining us by phone now, Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Shiny day. I got up early and took our Siberian Husky out for a walk and took some nice pictures of the red sky coming up on the early morning sun. I'm going to say rising. Obviously, it didn't rise, but that's how we see it. It was really pretty and spectacular, especially as it glistens off of the crystal clear lake out here, where we don't live around the lake, but we drive over there to it and give Jake a chance to run. But it's really a wonderful, stunning creation event every morning. And if I get a chance out there to take some pictures and try, and I think I'm going to submit some of them to the good old Thrivent calendar and see what happens.
It is nice. It's very pretty for February. It's very nice. And I believe what Groundhog Day is coming up this week, isn't it?
but you know what? That's going to be fun. However, in a week and a half, we have Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
A week from Wednesday. Boy, and it's coming early, so we get to celebrate an early resurrection. Of course, we do that every Sunday anyway. So, but Ash Wednesday's coming up, and to remind all people that it's a good time to be reminded of drowning the old Adam daily, that a new one comes forth with repentance and faith. So, as the Catechism teaches us. So, anyway, what I have here, just a few subjects as usual. Some of these may be old stuff, but it's kind of what's happening. Some of the sperm banks, especially the largest one over in England and some here in the United States, are starting to exclude. Now, this may ruffle the feathers of some listeners, people who donate women who donate their eggs, men who donate their sperms, if they have any history of attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder, Asperger's, autism, dyslexia, and color blindness, Alzheimer's, and so epilepsy, and the list goes on. And so some people have been complaining that this is taking us back to the days of eugenics, where we did a lot of this. Eugenically sterilized about 70,000 people here in the United States. And some of that had to deal with, of course, it was a very nasty thing to do, but it was trying to eliminate people who had certain what some people call today certainly a disability. So this is an issue that is starting to creep into several fertility clinics where people are picking and choosing their child, and they don't want any children that could have a disability. So this, of course, has many people who are involved with the American Disabilities Act. I know that the Dyslexia Foundation is very angry over this whole issue here in the States and over in England, because they're claiming this is eugenics, and it is eugenics. It's trying to sweep and clean out the quote-unquote unnecessary, unwanted children. The other one that is back in the news is euthanasia. We mentioned this a little bit a couple weeks ago. Could have been last week. I just can't remember very well. But Belgium, and I realize some people are probably thinking, well, that's way over there in Central Europe. But Belgium, of course, has been in the news due to the terrorist business. So I thought I'd just kind of bring this up, that their euthanasia over there, like it is in five states here in the United States, is on the rise. Last year, they euthanized over 2,000 people. And some of these euthanasia cases were involuntary. They just did it without any person's approval other than the person who's lying there and said, this is kind of what we're interested in having done. So that is happening. And the other situation that is going on is, once again, the Journal of the American Medical Association. I brought this up last time, but they came out with another article on this whole physician-assisted dying. As I said last week, they want to change the terminology from physician-assisted death to physician-assisted dying so that more states can become involved in it. The American Medical Association AMA, only about, at least my count is about 26, maybe 28% of all physicians belong to it. I know my brother, my daughter, son-in-law, when I was teaching at the medical school, I didn't belong to it. It's, of course, a very pro-abortion organization and not terribly pro-life, to be quite frank. Those are some of the areas. The last one that is perhaps the most stunning is some doctors over in Italy, China, and a couple here in the States believe that with this new transgender business and sex reassignment surgery, if a man goes completely through with it, with the onset of, and they have done this already, transplanting uteruses into women who were born without a uterus, that it's possible with hormone treatment, uterine transplant, that a man could become pregnant. Now, I know that seems kind of far-fetched, but in this world of technology, people are looking into that, especially if you have somebody, not like Bruce Jenner, whose reassignment surgery was not complete, but somebody like Renee Richards, the tennis player years ago back in the 70s, and other people who've gone through this. So once again, this brings to the focus in the forefront of bioethics. Are these technologies in service to the scriptures, or are they just, to be quite frank, incompatible with the scriptures? And I would, obviously they are from our viewpoint, but not so much in this this world of self-seeking glorification and my way or the highway type of people. So those are some of the issues that are up front now in the news.
And to question these, to question any of this in today's culture makes you, is considered hate speech or is considered bigotry in much of our culture.
I don't doubt that when this book I can't think of his name, Fort Wayne, Grobian is putting together with some of us, that when all of these articles come out on human sexuality, that he and everybody else involved with this will be considered bigots, will be considered unsensitive, to what's going on, in the world around us, because so much of this is sentimentality. And I think that all of these sorts of issues that are, people are driven by autonomy. They want to be a lawn to themselves. And I guess this is, we said this before, and I hope your listeners don't mind this repetitiousness, but it is something to be concerned about with all of the things that are happening in fertility clinics, with surrogacy, with euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, and this transgender, all of these other issues that really cause us to stand up and remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. And so I believe that much of this, to me, says we Christians must be informed if we're going to be able to discuss this. And I don't like this word in intelligent way. I'm not sure what that means typically for a Christian, other than I do believe Christians can witness about this. You don't have to quote 16 or 17 Bible passages. But we would just have to keep in mind, are these things in service to the word of the Lord from a law gospel perspective? And clearly they're not, because it does go into this whole area of this sort of a self-seeking world we live in. It's my way or the highway. And that clearly is not in accordance with the word of God.
Sure. It all comes back to self and the old Adam and being self-seeking, and that's what creates all of these issues. When were we not always self-seeking, we probably wouldn't have these issues. But that's part of the human nature, and human nature in the fallen human nature, I should say.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is corrupted in body and soul. Although some people don't believe that we have a soul, and if we have a soul, then it's all this animistic religion, then everything has a soul. Including the desk in front of you, the table, the chairs, and so forth. So I really think that you want, always, at least from what you're doing, with his time and on the family programs there at KFUO and other programs that are there. It is all about getting people and encouraging them to read the scriptures, one or two verses a day, even a hymn from the hymn book, even if it's the old, you know, TLH, you know, which a lot of people still love, that's fine. You know, to read, to study, and to inwardly, as we always say, digest what God has to say. And that meant the Holy Spirit, of course, uses that to strengthen and edify our life as we continue to belong to the community of believers and witness what God in Christ says we should do, what we shouldn't do, and how we are to live, to put it in the catechetical sense of the third use of the law.
Absolutely. That daily catechesis and hearing God's word helps us daily drown that old Adam. He's a good swimmer, but we daily drown that old Adam as we remember our baptism and remember whose we are in that baptism.
Well, to be sure, and I think that, you know, all of this stuff goes always back to the basics, Andy, and that's what you do so well there. And his time and other programs you lead, and this is where we have to go. Is just people don't have to get so complicated. Just go back to the basics. Open up your catechism. Read. You know, spend some time reading Luke and Acts. It's the same author and pretty much the same type of vocabulary and language. And especially as we're going through Ash Wednesday, I'm going to be preaching on the Temptations, not the singing group from Detroit. But, you know, the three last temptations we have and what the Lord says to Satan are just incredibly profound. And if that's all you know, you certainly can, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there you have it right there. It kind of sums up everything we believe, teach, and confess.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss, always bringing these good topics to the forefront for us. I am looking forward to heading to, at the end of the month, going to head to the conference, the education conference for the American College of Pediatricians and the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, and get to hear some of the speakers and hopefully share some time in interviews with them as well that might bring some topics back to our conversations here.
Oh, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Thanks a lot. Take care, and God's peace to you and your listeners.
Thank you. You as well. God's peace to you. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Joshua Lowe from Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska. We'll take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 18 today. Hope you can join us for our study of that. And after that, sacred music to help sanctify your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for over 90 years.